This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 4, Episode 28. On tonight's show, we talk about Tron 3 might be happening. We talk about Batman Gotham sequel somewhat kind of thing is happening. And the creator of Farside is actually back to save us from this dark 2020. That and much, much more. So with that, here's the intro. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess5150 welcoming you back to another All Things Nerd podcast. I am your host, Mess5150, coming to you from another spot in my house as I find different locations to record from. So this is now... Yeah, no kidding. I'm on quarantine number two because of paternity leave. So, and major quarantine because had to check and see if I've got the COVID or not. So until I get results, I can't go anywhere. I'm not allowed to. So had our brain scrubbed. But the way we like to start this show is a little thing that we call Get Your Geek On. Ain't nobody got time for that. So Getting Your Geek On is the things that we've been doing for the last week to keep our sanity, but also, like the song says, ain't nobody got time for that. So we try and give you help with what you use your time for in terms of what's out there to binge watch, what's out there to read, what's out there to listen to, if it's worth your time or if you should stay far, far away from it. This is also how we introduce the people that are here on the show. As you know, I am the host, Mess5150, but also joining us on the cast, we have Icy Zorro back. How are you, sir, and what have you been geeking out on?
I'm fantastic. I've spent pretty much this entire week doing one single thing, watching Friday Night Lights. I never watched it when it was on, and the whole thing is available, so I started on, I believe, last Sunday, and as of right now, I've got like 6 episodes left. I've watched 5 seasons this week.
Nice.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a really, really good show, though.
Is it worth it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth it. The acting's fantastic. The writing's fantastic. Minka Kelly and Adrian Palicki are
even
always
Tim
worth looking at.
No, he's talking about the TV show, not the movie. But the movie was great, and Tim McGraw was a fantastic alcoholic abusive father in that movie.
I can't keep them all straight, who was in what and how many reboots have been done of it. So
this one was with Connie Britton and
Kyle
Campbell.
Oh, I like her. I like Connie Britton.
Did you watch the movie, I see?
No, I haven't, actually. That's okay. It's Billy Bob Thornton, right?
I just wanted to know the comparison, if you thought.
It's they're nowhere close to being the same thing.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to know what seems better.
Oh, gotcha. The TV show's pretty damn good. I put it this way. I'd rather watch reruns of the TV show than the movie over and over.
Huh.
Well, yeah, and the last two seasons, Michael B. Jordan is one of the stars, and that's, like, young Michael B. Jordan. It's really fun to watch, like, you know, what an incredible powerhouse actor he's become. You know, you're watching this skinny little kid playing quarterback, you're like, that's Killmonger.
It was he was also Jamal back in the Keanu Reeves Hardball days also.
Oh, wow.
Little baseball player.
Yeah.
But Gambit's in that movie, too, Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch, yeah. And it's funny because this is around the time when he was supposed to be, you know, the next big thing, and then John Carter just tanked so hard.
Thank God, because can you imagine actually a Gambit with him? Come on.
You know what? John Carter was actually pretty good. It was just Disney's advertising of it that destroyed that film. So I actually enjoyed John Carter. But moving on. Also on the cast, we have, since you heard him talking so much, let's know what he's been doing for the week. What have you been up to, Bearded Master?
So I started watching Big Bang Theory again because it's on HBO Max, and I started Sunday night, and I am 3 episodes away from finishing season 4. So I've been just watching that nonstop. It's been kind of a nice little break on TV. They have it on here and there, but it's kind of been different than what I've been normally binge watching throughout the week. You know, it takes me away from Friends, Last Man Standing, The Office kind of routine, and does Big Bang Theory in it, and that's kind of where I've been.
So how far have you gotten in it so far?
I'm 3 episodes away from finishing season 4. Just
okay.
Since Sunday.
Oh, season 4.
So, what's it, 10 seasons? Was it Big Bang?
12.
Or 11?
12.
12? Wow, okay.
Wow.
So you must be, you're getting right to the point where, like, Melissa Rauch and
what's her name? They both came in season 3. Melissa Rauch came in beginning, and Amy appeared in the final episode of season 3.
But you're in the Priya, right?
The last episode, actually, the episode I'm in right now is the whole contract renegotiation, where basically he like gets to the point where Sheldon like threatens to tell him on with the self-destruct button.
That
just happened a moment ago.
And then he redoes the whole contract and throws it up in there.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Well, that was a couple episodes. That was when Penny's dad came to visit and he saw them kissing and thought that him and Penny were getting back together, and he told her, oh no, we broke up. And that's when he flipped out, staying up all night revising the whole contract.
That's right.
You thought you were on All Things Nerd, but you're actually watching rewatching all TV shows of the past decade. is what you've joined.
Dude,
for
we're,
the night.
We're in July of 2020. What else is there to do?
But we have our other female of the cast here on the show with us tonight, and that is Super Whovian Freak. What have you been geeking out on, Super?
You know what? I gave this new show on HBO Max a try because it had a fantastic cast. I don't know if any of you guys watched it, because I don't actually know how old it is, but it's the Reese Witherspoon, Kerry Washington, Joshua Jackson drama called Little Fires Everywhere, based on a book about a single black mother moving to Shaker Heights, Ohio, you know, which is like a rich white suburban town. And it's their life, and it started off so good because I love all three of those people, and I loved all the kids that they had cast, and the acting was so good. And then the last episode, it just ended. I don't even know how to describe it. My sister described it as anticlimactic, and I just described it as it's unfinished, because all of the things that happened, nothing that finalized in the episode would ever be final in real life. Like, one person does one thing and I'm like, oh well, no, she would never get away with that because this would happen, and like all this other thing. So it just ended up pissing me off. It's only 8 episodes, but it was still really well acted. It really just pissed me off at the end, because I know that none of the things that happened in that final episode would be left all hunky-dory fine. So it just kind of irritated me, and it made me wonder if they were going to address those things in a season 2, even though that's kind of how the book ended. So it's kind of weird, but it made me not want to go read the book. Yeah, but very well acted. Very well acted. Like, Kerry Washington, fantastic. I mean, she's fantastic in everything. But Reese Witherspoon, I mean, she can just play the biggest, coldest, manipulative bitch ever. And then Joshua Jackson off of Reese Witherspoon was really good.
He was, wasn't he in, what's the movie? Great Expectations with her? Not Great Expectations. The one with Ryan Phillippe.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions. He was in that movie too, wasn't
he? Yes, he was.
He might have been in the background. Yeah. Yeah.
He had a small part. He was the gay football player that sold weed to Ryan Phillippe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot that. My first recollection goes to him in Urban Legends with the horrible platinum blonde hair hanging from a tree. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he had that platinum blonde hair in Cruel Intentions too, didn't he?
I feel like he was
it's 90s. I'm definitely gonna rock out the platinum hair.
Well, he also had it in Dawson's Creek, and he had it, I think, in Skulls.
Briefly, he had it in Dawson's Creek.
Didn't he have one time?
It was the time of Eminem. We all had that platinum blonde hair at some point.
I had platinum blonde hair when I was 5 years old, and I grew out of it.
It's like he got done filming Mighty Ducks 3, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to change things up real quick. Not going to get typecast and this type stuff.
Also joining us on the cast, we have Masonic Vader. What you been geeking out on, sir?
Oh, man, it's been a fun week with my son geeking out on some prior stuff. So you guys are in the 2090s. I'm going back to the 80s, and we're in season 3 of G.I. Joe, it's the redone version of G.I. Joe. So he's been having fun doing that. And then I'm not letting COVID take my summer movies away. So I'm starting to educate my son on some of the classic movies. And this week we dipped our hands into the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure movie. And he loved it a lot. He liked it. He was laughing. He didn't know some of the jokes, which is good, but You know, he's like, "Hey, Dad, why is her favorite number 69?" I was like, "Someday, son, someday."
That's the best thing.
I remember being very confused by that as a child. Yeah.
All those movies. There's a bunch of movies, and you're like, "What the hell?" You're laughing then. He's like, "Whatever." And then you go back now and watch them. Oh, that's what I was laughing at. That's even funnier now. Yes.
He was digging out with all the going back in time. He's like, Who's that? And I'm like, just wait a second. And then they say the name. He's like, oh, and then he didn't have the Genghis Khan and Abraham Lincoln. So he saw Abraham Lincoln. He's like, oh, he was, yeah. So he loved the movie a lot. He liked it and everything. And yeah, so looking forward to showing him The Bogus Journey next and maybe take him to the actual movie when it comes out because you need to be excellent to each other.
Nice.
So, and everything is definitely retro right now because the number one movie at the box office this weekend was Ghostbusters. So
nice.
Well, it also has to go with, I don't know, we were thinking about going to the drive-in the other day because theater's still not open, and theater or drive-ins are open, and the newest movie was Knives Out. Like that came out almost a year ago. Like
it's on Amazon.
The newest movie.
I'm starting to think there's like a conspiracy there because I got a new Kindle and I have the Amazon Prime app on there and it keeps downloading Knives Out. I don't ask it to do it. I don't tell it to do anything, but I keep getting notifications. Hey, it's been downloaded. Are you ready to watch yet? Oh, you deleted me? Oh, okay. Hey, it's downloaded again. Are you ready to watch it this time? Oh, no, not quite yet. Yeah, no. It's downloaded four times.
It's you two and you. It's you two and
yeah.
you.
They're trying to get you ready for the sequel.
Yeah, it's
and I'm going to watch it eventually.
It's such a good movie, though.
I know, yeah, but I'm now at this point in a stalemate with it. I'm not going to watch it just because you creepily download yourself onto my Kindle. I'm going to watch it when I'm good and ready.
It's like that friend who always, like, that person keeps friend requesting you, and you delete it, and they add it back on. It's like, I'm just going to let it sit there and request for the next 6 months to a year,
yeah.
and they won't request me again.
For those that are actually here joining us live on Twitch, that's at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, or watching this on YouTube, I'm telling you, it's your cat, Super. If you look at that cat in the background, it's just, it's looking away, right? Like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. So when you're gone, that cat is downloading Knives Out.
She has downloaded some stuff, yeah, because she sleeps on it. She likes the warmth.
There's your thing. Okay, my geek out has been in terms of movies, catching up, binging some films. I watched this week Predator, the Predator, directed by Shane Black, had a really great cast to it, but for some reason, his idea of rebooting Predator was to turn it into a comedy. I don't get that, so it's a little bit lower there. I would try and stay away if you can. Mom and Dad, which has Nick Cage at his Nick Cagiest, because that is whoo boy, he's wild and yeah.
That and cagey?
Was oh god. I don't know how to better describe it. So,
is his face off?
No face off. Just and there's some good actors in there. It's about, if you haven't watched it, it's moms and dads all of a sudden just get this urge to start killing their children. And then Nick Cage's dad shows, mom and dad show up later in the movie, and his dad's played by Henriksen, he was Bishop in Aliens. So he's chasing
Lance Henriksen.
He's chasing Nick Cage around with a knife, so that made it just fun too. I also watched Little Monsters with Lupita Nyong'o and Josh Gad. That is a fantastic film. Not the Fred Savage one. That's going to be on Hulu. So it's fantastic.
Hold on a sec. Did I just hear you pronounce a name correctly? In fact, a very difficult name correctly? Did you just pull that off?
When you hear Lupita Nyong'o a lot, you eventually say it right. So I'm not.
Oh my god, dude! Can we document this?
I'm not John Travolta, you know, Nazim Hassan. I also watched the new Child's Play with Mark Hamill doing the voice of Chucky, and you know what? It was actually not bad the way that they rebooted it. It's not a possessed doll. It's all about technology, and this guy gets fired, and he gets pissed off, so he takes all the safety precautions off the doll, and that's how it goes about killing everybody. And the Google world.
Spoiler alert.
That's the beginning of the movie, man. It's not a spoiler.
I went to an antique store earlier before recording, and I just because I was going looking for some figures, and I walk in there, and the first aisle, the big glass thing with all these dolls in it, there's an Annabelle doll, and right next to it, in the box still, and it's an actual talking good guy doll, and I'm like, oh snap, there's Chucky right there. Did I bring it home? Like, no, I'm not. I'm gonna leave that one out.
And the last one was Fighting With My Family, based off a page from WWE. Really good movie. It was actually, I enjoyed it a lot. So me and my wife watched it together, and then she had to go research Paige after that. So,
How was that rabbit hole?
Yeah. No. I told her what happened. I told her what happened, which made it even funnier when they talked about the line of what's his name from Swingers, that his nickname is Sex Tape because it makes you famous. And I'm like, oh, that was thrown in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, precursor to her future, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So that was my geek out. that was my geek out. In the chat room, we had Cannon Fodder joining us, and he was geeking out on Florence Pugh. Yes, but that's who played her. Not that she wasn't the one in the sex tape. Cannon Fodder, Star Trek, and Skyrim. And then everybody else was talking about my sound levels, so hopefully we got that fixed up. And Kat Sadal redeemed a Super Whovian rant. He just has to let me know what he wants Super to rant about. Yeah, and then we'll get into that. But before we get into that, we have trailers to talk about and react to. And the way we do those is what we call In a World.
In a city, in a town, in a world, they thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
In a World is brought to you by Malachi. I'm taking over for a couple minutes. We are going to be talking about three previews or trailers that came out this week. The first one we're going to be talking about is, I think, one I've been waiting to see come out for a while and stuff, which is going to be kind of cool. It's a Netflix series. It's the Transformers. I believe it's Fall of Cybertron, correct? I think that's where they labeled it and stuff.
It's the War of Cybertron.
Excuse me, yeah.
Trilogy.
Yeah, three-part series, I guess, yeah. I'll hold mine to the end. Marty, Bearded Master, what did you think, sir?
So apparently this, I had to look into this because I wasn't sure what it was coming from, what it was based on. I'm like, is this three movies or is this three parts? Because it only looks like one. Looks like it's three acts that make up the one movie, I guess. And apparently it's coming off of the last series I just had on there. So I'm going to have to look at that too. I thought it was pretty good. It was entertaining. It kind of caught my interest. And I don't really watch too much of the cartoons, but this one definitely caught my attention because it sounds like it kind of leads into, kind of follows like the movies that we're doing it as well. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how they do that and kind of correlate to and compare that to the movies that came out. But no, I'm interested to see where they go with this. It looks like there's only two acts listed so far, so I'm kind of interested to see what they do with the whole series.
Yeah, I when I looked at it first, for me, because, you know, being able to see all that stuff right from the beginning, it's very nostalgic, and I'll dive into it a little bit more. I see. How are your thoughts on it, sir?
I was missing all the explosions and the shaky cams.
So the Michael Bayness of it?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I remember watching Transformers a lot as a kid, and I remember the animated movie being fantastic back then. I haven't followed any of the recent stuff, but I was kind of shocked at the animation didn't look that great. I mean, it just seemed kind of clunky and stilted, but as long as the writing and story is good, I'll watch it.
I think that's what kind of drew me into it. It kind of gave like an older nostalgia, not like early original Transformers cartoon animation, but like early 90s.
Very retro.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like. But one thing that I negative about, like, there's no Peter Cullen in it, like, at all. Like, he's done Optimus for everything. And you're not going to bring him back for this? Like, that was kind of, I was like, oh, that's kind of lame, but whatever.
Super.
Well, I was happy to see that it was animated, because I haven't heard anything about this up until now, and I was not looking forward to anything more live action. I mean, Michael Bay kind of killed that for me for now. Maybe give me 5-6 years, maybe. But I think it'll be fun, especially for kids, because sometimes it's harder to hook them on the old school stuff because, like you said, the graphics maybe not quite as good. So this could be something that could draw them in and then make them want to go back and rewatch the older stuff. I mean, like, it killed me when my nieces and nephews, or not some of them, wanted to watch the Scooby-Doo of now. But then when I put on the Scooby-Doo, like the original Scooby-Doo, they were just like, what the hell is this? Like, this is garbage. And I am like, get out, out. It's kind of like that. So hopefully it'll be good.
On a side tangent, did you watch the new Scoob movie?
No, I refuse to give that garbage my time of day.
Good. It's on HBO. It's so good.
Is it good?
So good. I was hurt.
Didn't they just not let Matt Lillard work on it? Like, he found out about it because...
Yeah, he found out about it. And I'm a huge Matthew Lillard fan. So the fact that they did him dirty like that, I'm just like, I don't know if I can go support you. But I like the cast. Yeah.
Back to Transformers. I don't know how we went to Scooby-Doo. Back to Transformers.
I was talking about the difference between now and retro cartoons.
Well, Super, the first problem you have on that is the fact that you got to introduce them to the cartoons first. That's how I did it with my son. He started watching the cartoon first.
I only have so much control over nieces and nephews.
And we apologize. That's our extra co-host in the background. So you guys hit a couple cool things about that I want to kind of punch on there, is that it has that retro feel, which is exactly how I kind of wanted it, because of the fact that some of the best Transformer cartoons are going to be the retros of the originals, not the most recent stuff. So what it looks like to us is that the movies itself are going to be more of like a showing of what happened to Cybertron, which I think is really exciting, because if you go back and watch all the cartoons or whatever, you only get talks about and glimmers of, and it looks like it really gets into that whole, I mean, it's called War Cybertron for a reason. So it really gets into that part. And that's where I'm excited to see it. And to have that whole old school feel of the cartoon is awesome, because I really do think out of everything out of the cartoons, that's the one thing I really did wish they would have talked more about, was the war and the fall of Cybertron to the Decepticons. So I saw it and I'm like, dude, this is exactly what I want. But I agree, though. Peter Cullen not in it is just crap. I mean, he's done everything Optimus Prime. So I don't understand why they can't do that for him this time. And it is going to be hard to miss some of the old voices from the cartoons. Starscream and whatnot. But other than that, it looks awesome to me. So
yeah, the only thing I can say about it is it does look very awesome, but it looks dark as all hell.
It does.
The other one is Prime Wars Trilogy, which is, I guess, is the prequel to the War of Cybertron. So that's something I would say look into, watch first. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to watch it before this one comes out, because there's a lot of backstory on that one about what the war starts, the war, and then this one's basically the war of it that leads to the Allspark and like that. I think it could be good to watch the whole series as one.
Absolutely.
In the chat room, they talked about, yes, that they can't wait for the end of the month for this, that they can't hear my baby.
We can't, though. What? Yeah. We can't.
So I didn't watch Transformers in the 80s. This isn't my cup of tea, was Uru 2. And Kat Sadow says, hope it's better than the crappy video games. So, it's Netflix. I would assume that they're going to put a little bit more into it. I mean, it's a trilogy, so we know once we get into other things way later that as long as you got three, you're good. But after that, you never know how much longer it'll go, if it'll be any good. Yeah, so moving on to the next trailer that we were going to talk about, and that's The Boys Season 2.
Thoughts? I love Carl Urban so much. He's awesome. And I'm definitely going to have to rewatch The Boys as, you know, as season two comes out. Because I've read through the comics. I watched that first season and loved it. So but I'm going to need to refresh myself. So much. Just the opening.
So of much show, blood. Like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bad. I was looking forward to that trailer because I did love The Boys season one. But I am so mad at my phone for that freaking trailer because it kept getting stuck on one part in a loop and it was just we didn't start the fire over and over and over and over again and now I have had it in my head all week. I'm dreaming about it at night. Billy Joel has been doing weird freaking ass crap and it's just like everywhere. Like I'll be doing something and then it's just playing on a continuous loop because my phone could not get off it. I would try to go back and watch it and I would try to go back and watch it because of the crappy ass reception that I had at work. Yeah, so I now cannot stand that trailer and I'm still excited for season two, but I can't stand that trailer because all I can associate now with it is blood and we didn't start the fire and no.
Well, I have to stop you right there because we got the cash in for our rant. God. And he wants a rant about too much blood, I guess, on television. Just so much blood.
Jerry Jones.
I teach you how to rant. I can teach you how to rant.
I can't stand it.
How to throw a rant.
I can't stand
it. It doesn't work that way, you know, like, so make it realistic. I mean, they were enjoyable to a point, but were they fantastic? By no means, no. I mean, I've seen worse movies, we're not gonna lie.
And I'm like, well, she spoke. She may have lived somewhere. Someone slid on a pole, and there was a plane.
And now, another nerd rant with Super Hoovy and Freak.
Okay, 60 seconds on the clock. Rant about too much blood, Super Hoovian.
Well, there's sometimes people go overboard. I mean, I'm all for graphic depictions, and I like dark, and I don't mind dirty violence and stuff. But this is the reason that I never watch like a lot of horror, not horror shows, but like zombies and things like that. Like The Walking Dead is the perfect example. They were bloody just for bloody sake. There, it was just gratuitous, nasty ass violence, and it doesn't serve the plot any. It's just disgusting, and it really is off-putting. So while I do really like The Boys and I love the acting and I love Carl Urban, they could potentially go that route as well. Or Preacher. Preacher is another example. Certain scenes in Preacher, especially what is it when they're doing the clone room with Humperdinck or whatever it was, and they're killing all the, you know, it's stuff like that where it's like, okay, yes, I get it. People are made of blood. People have blood. Blood can explode all over the place. But at some point, it just starts to lose its value, and it just becomes gross and unnecessary. And I really hope that they don't go that route, because okay, you know, I know it's fake.
You got your 60-second rant. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else thoughts about the trailer?
Both of those properties written by Garth Ennis, Preacher and The Boys.
Exactly.
Anybody, there you go.
Anybody else have thoughts about the trailer? And there's your too much blood rant for Kat Siddell.
Can I say that there was not enough blood? And you know what? I know they didn't start the fire, but they didn't light it, but they're trying to fight it. I liked it.
Can I just say, I liked it.
You're lucky
like
you're
in the universe, Brad Cooper.
South. Yes. Because I'll stab a bitch.
I liked it. I just like IC said, I'm gonna have to watch it again because it's so twisted, which is awesome about the series. It's such a twisted series. I want to go back and just see everything that I might have missed or was like dumbfounded I saw. I liked it a lot better than the last one where what's his name was getting ready to have mommy time. So thank you for bringing out this one and saving me from crying later. Thank you.
So let's move on to the last trailer. Umbrella Academy Season 2. They're going back to the 60s. What'd you guys think?
It looks great. That's another property that like I loved the first season, and I read the comic because of it. And but again, I have to watch through it again. It's been so long. The problem with all this binge watching is it's so long since we've had to, or since we've actually paid attention to these properties. You got to renew yourself on it.
Always. I'm looking forward to rewatching Umbrella Academy season one.
I'm once again, I like to just piggyback on everyone else's stuff. It's nice to see. It's actually cool that both of these are coming out at the same time. I actually just started watching episode one last night because I'm going to watch it all the way through, regardless if I remember, because this was an epic series that I truly did enjoy. I knew nothing about the comic book. I just enjoyed the series. I've gone and looked at some of the comic books now, and I am looking forward to seeing the second season as well.
I didn't watch the first season, but this trailer made me want to go back and watch it and actually caught my attention to watch the second one. When the first one came out, I wasn't really paying attention, and I kind of was behind like the hype and everything that was going on around it. And by that time, I just never really jumped back in. But no, this one, looking at this trailer, it actually looks really good. And makes me want to watch the first season and then get caught up for this one and be involved in it.
Yeah, definitely check it out. It's a good watch. It's a fast binge too. It's not a ton of episodes, so it's really worth it.
Nine or ten episodes,
something like that.
But
it goes fast. So Ruru2 asked how the apocalypse follows them back to the 60s. How does that happen? I guess we'll find out when we watch season two, because I don't know how it happens either. Lastly, before we move into our big subject. Kat Siddell cashed out Undying Love, which is just us talking about how much we absolutely love our listeners and our followers. And Kat Siddell, amongst them, is amazing and fantastic. And we thank him so much for coming and checking us out and not coming under his favorite name of Ninyub from Star Wars as well. But the Kat's is wonderful. And if anybody else wants to give their Undying Love for Kat Siddell as well before we go into nerd news, please do so now.
He's amazing. Just, there's no words. Amazing.
It makes me think of the late 90s Comedy Central show Dr. Katz, and that makes me happy.
Dr. Katz? I don't remember that show.
The cartoon show, right?
Oh my god, the animation was horrible, but Katz is amazing.
We know somebody on this cast likes Katz.
Mittens! Where are you?
Okay.
I have a sleeping lump.
Let's get into the nerd news.
Cats.
The nerd news this week, major story number one, Tron 3 is we're being teased with Tron 3 because the music producer of the Tron 2 was on a podcast, Light the Fuse, I think it was called, and talked about Tron 3. That there was the history of it, that after Tron 2 came out, they announced that Tron 3 was getting made, and then they decided to cancel it, and then 2017, they re-announced that it was being made, but now with Jared Leto as the main lead in it. And now this music producer went on Light the Fuse and said that it looks like it's going to be made because of Disney Plus. They now have an outlet of somewhere to put it. And that Daft Punk are open and willing to come back as long as the stars align, basically, because that's kind of the way he put it. What do you guys think about the wishy-washiness of if Tron 3 is actually happening or not?
I'd be interested to see it. I wasn't disappointed with the second movie. Tron Legacy, I thought, was pretty good. Some of the CGI was a little bit rough, but other than that, though, it was a movie I was wanting to see, and I wasn't disappointed. My son liked it. I mean, I had him watch the first movie, and then we watched the second one, and when I told him the other day that it looks like they're making a Tron 3, and they've already started doing some stuff, he got excited about it. So, you know, if you can get somebody... 11-year-old excited about seeing a movie like that, especially if he was able to get to the first one and experience everything that's going on now, I'm down for it. I hope they do bring back the entire cast, and I hope they figure out a way to bring back some of the originals that they weren't maybe able to get in that are still available to get in.
I loved that movie in the 80s. That was one of my childhood favorites. And I don't know. I agree with Vader. I didn't have any problem with the second one. Anytime I get to, you know, Anytime I get to get back into that world, I'll be happy to. Plus, Olivia Wilde, excellent.
Rutu says, Tron 3, the Troning. Kat says, just make the
search for more money.
Well, oh, he spelled it as Tronining. So I said Troning. I don't know. Kat says, just make the goddamn movie. Cannon Fodder asked if we need a neon frisbee for this podcast. Yes. The answer is always yes when it comes to neon frisbee for anything. I didn't think there was a different answer.
I agree. I also want an electronic motorcycle. That'd be friggin' awesome.
A light cycle.
Tank.
Yes.
I'll take a light cycle.
I want a frisbee that turns into a light cycle. That would, yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Beard Master?
So unpopular opinion. I really wasn't a big fan of the second one. I liked the first one when I was a kid watching that one. Second one came out and watched it just to see what it was. It was how the comparison was. Thought it was good for what it was, but just wasn't a fan of it. Olivia Wilde was fantastic. I loved her in it, but I loved her in everything. And the music, the soundtrack, Daft Punk on there. That made me watch it. But it's one of those movies that I watched it once and I haven't watched it since and haven't got the urge to watch it again. I'll probably check out the new one when it comes out, especially if he's on there and he has a soundtrack and doing all that for it. But yeah, it's not really a movie that high on my radar I gotta watch this one when it comes out.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts, Super?
I liked the second one. It's not something that I probably ever would have thought about. Like, it's not something that I would have gone like, yeah, you know what? I think they need to make a sequel to this, but I will definitely watch it because I like the franchise. But I haven't seen the second one. I watched it in theaters when a bunch of really bad personal crap was going on. And then I watched it again, and I liked it a lot more the second time. So hopefully, I think it'll be good. I did like the franchise.
Well, one, the de-aging makeup CGI has definitely gotten better since that one.
Yes, it has.
If they bring him back. But the chat room's really divisive. We've got Ugg for Leto if he's in this, and Yay for Leto as well. It's almost as bad as this podcast and Nick Cage in terms of how the people react. You see the head shaking from Icy Sorrow. At least we'll get a good soundtrack as long as Daft Punk comes back, is what everybody has said, so... I want it made. I really want to see what the plan was for the third one, and with Disney Plus, they have that ability to do it. Might as well do it. So,
it's better than remaking live crap. At least it's original. I will say that. I want some original content. So, which is probably the segue into the next part. So.
Yeah, before we jump into it, I think something that was really good about Tron Legacy is the fact that I guess the name says it all. This wasn't a movie that was trying to establish itself as its own. It really did a good job of paying homage to the original movie, to the arcade, to the secret room, mm-hmm. to the actors. They brought back a couple of the key actors from the last one and played off the original movie. So I think it's one of those few things where if you're tired of people remaking a movie, like saying, oh, the first one never existed, let's do the new one, then, yeah, if you're a big fan of that, you're not going to like Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy did a phenomenal job of giving Tron its updated glory. Imagine if Tron made in the 80s was made now, how crazy that would be. So it was awesome. I can't wait for them to make the third one, to be honest with you.
In the chat room, HJZ Croc talking about Tron 2, she said that my Tron 2 playlist has the highest play record of all the music that they have, how amazing the soundtrack was, and that just as good as Leto and Blade Runner, just not Leto Joker.
The what Joker, yeah. Well, that killed him for a lot of people.
Next story. Batman spinoff. Well, the movie hasn't come out yet, but the new Batman by Max Reeves with our sparkling Batman, they're already making a spinoff for it. It's already been ordered for a series for HBO Max. It is a new Gotham PD series, because Gotham's over on Fox, so now we might not get another one. But it's going to be produced by Matt Reeves. It's going to also have Boardwalk Empire creator Terrence Winter as a co-producer and a writer, I believe. And I know this wasn't seen at first, but it came out since. Jeffrey Wright will reprise his role as Jim Gordon from the movie for the series as well. So I just wanted, you know, what do you think about them already getting a spinoff set up for, one, this movie over to HBO Max, and two, you know, Gotham just finished, and now we're getting another Gotham PD show, but on HBO.
Gotham just finished, and we didn't even get, like, there was so much more that could have came from the Gotham TV show. I'm bitter because I love that show, and then we're going to get a new one. It's like, oh, already. Interesting to see what they do, because if they focus us more on, they really didn't give too much details, except for that's going to be based on GCPD. And, you know, the Gotham TV show was based around that, but it was actually more about Gordon and his relationship with Bruce, little Bruce, and all of the younger villains of Batman. So if this is like an actual like detective show, it's supposed to be like connected to the movie. Whether Pattinson's going to be in it at all, this is a way I think for them to basically go further with the Matt Reeves storyline. Considering that we kind of saw like Snyder out there too, so it kind of gives two Batman lineages, I guess. Interesting to see what they do. I'm not really sure if I'm too excited for it yet. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand on it.
I don't know. With all the Batman stuff going on right now, I feel like I'm in that scene in Spaceballs where Spaceballs the flamethrower, Spaceballs the toilet paper, Spaceballs the lunchbox. I mean, freaking A. At one point, we're talking about not having any Batman at all because Affleck is gone and everyone's like, oh, okay, just like that. And all of a sudden, we're getting Michael Keaton's back, shiny Batman. Oh, Affleck's back. Now GPCD. And, I mean, good God, there's like Batman stimulus overload right now.
I need a break.
We were talking about last week how the DC Universe needs to better coordinate like between movies and TV. So, I mean, it's almost like they're taking my advice.
Here's the thing, though. You know, you got...
But they're coordinating it with a one-off movie, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They're coordinating with the wrong movie.
Well, we don't know that yet, but you've got HBO Max with the. So I saw that.
No, they came out with this in an interview.
Huh? What's that?
It's in that interview that it was associated. It was going to be part of like the Batman movie coming out.
Yeah, no.
Like it would be the first. It would be the first DC live action TV show to be associated to the movie.
Yeah, what I'm saying is we don't know if it's the wrong Batman movie because we haven't seen it yet. That's what I was saying.
Because
we don't know. We you know. All we can go is
you still can't convince me. Batman has a goldfish bowl on his head. Every time I see that cowl, it looks like a goldfish bowl.
It's so different than what Adam West is wearing. I just watched that last night, and he was wearing the
that's what it is. It's just potatoes and goldfish for you when it comes to DC films. You got potato face and goldfish bowl head. So, that's what it is from now on for you, Ken.
Okay, all right, I'll take it, but whatever, dude, if I have to start feeding some fish to the goldfish, man, or feed some food, damn it, I can't get enough. I saw, like, when you showed us that article, there's also the attachment to the little 50-second preview of Pattinson's Batman, the little black and red, so I pressed play and I watched again, and I still see that big-ass forehead of a cow. You can't put enough shadow on that. You can put shadow on top of that shadow, and the shadow would have a forehead.
We'll see what happens.
But two of them, it's peaches.
The question I had is HBO Max is getting this series. This is attached to the Pattinson Batman. Well, what's the rumor of the other Batman that's getting HBO Max stuff? Ben Affleck. So this is going to get confusing on HBO Max is what's going to happen.
Fuck, we go from... DC's not doing it to, holy shit, DC's just going for all. I mean, that's what's happening right now.
DC at this point, yeah.
They have not learned the phrase, you cannot please everyone. They're trying to please everybody.
All we can say is that within the next 3 years, we're going to have three live-action Batmans out there.
Holy Batman.
We're going to have Keaton. We're going to have Affleck. We're going to have Pattinson. And if they don't use him, use somebody else in GCPD. There's you a fourth line.
We still got the Batman and Titans as well. The guy that played Mormont.
F it. We've got somebody who can produce a video. I got a Batman suit right in there for Halloween. I'll just break it out, and I'll be the fourth Batman.
I don't know.
I mean, everyone else can.
I was a Power Ranger kid, so, like, it came out where, like, the Power Ranger Red, and it was, like, all the Red Rangers of the entire Power Ranger series all thrown in one. We're going to finally get, like, an all-Batman episode. It's just going to be, like, every Batman. It's basically going to be Lego, the live-action Lego Batman, where every single Batman came back in there.
They did it with Doctor Who, so it could work. Yeah. I mean, they did it with the. I mean, it was animated, but they did it with Spider-Man crossing universes. Be
all the current Batmen in a TARDIS.
Okay, yeah. I need to read this. I mean, chat room it. Because it's got some fantastic stuff going on in it, and this is why we record this live every Friday 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. If you're listening to this on anywhere that you listen outside of this, we record every so that you guys can be part of the show. But in this chat room, we have we have your Batman. I'm Batman. He's Batman. Everyone will be Batman. It'll be anarchy. Cats Sedal, wonder how much they're going to use for the comic. Also, was a 9-book series. And the cannon fodder. Damn it, Batman! There's another Batman trying to be our Batman. So many Batmans. Holy duplicity, Robin. Holy Batman, Batman. Batman, holy, holy. Yeah, it's going crazy inside this chat room.
You know what? There's two ways you could tie in. You get to actually tie in two different movies with this Batman series at this point. A, you could do Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, bring Batmans all together. I mean, can you imagine all the Batmans in the old time machine, the phone booth time machine? You could do that.
Do we get Keanu with the cowl?
Yeah, I would be down with that. Or B, they all touch each other at the same time and they come together and be Batman Toxic Avenger or something. I mean, it's just freaking crazy.
Did you just say that all the Batman need to touch each other? Is that known as the Bat Touch?
Oh, man. That's a different podcast. Get the shark repellent.
Bat talking.
Okay. Last major story. Gary Larson from Far Side came back after 25 years and put out his first comic strip. So for those that know the Far Side, that was a fantastic, great comic strip. And now we have new comic strips. He came to save 2020. We've got Gary Larson doing new Far Sides. He's not drawing them. They look like they're done computer-based, but still, his humor's there.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he hasn't been writing for the last, like, 25 years because he lost his interest in drawing. He said it wasn't fun anymore. And recently he started getting into drawing on tablets and using some of the, you know, the more current drawing programs and stuff. And he said he's really enjoying it. So, yeah, it's not – I wish he was bringing back the strip. That strip was one of the best things ever. But, you know, I'll take anything new from Gary Larson. I love that guy.
So apparently NASA decided to throw up the Far Side signal, not the Bat signal, because we have enough Batman, but the Far Side signal. Dude, I love the way how he introduced it, too. The whole, like, thawing out the ice cube with all of his characters and stuff like that. That's flipping awesome. Like, I loved Far Side. It was an awesome strip. There was a lot of cool stuff to it. And a lot of times it was just one scene. That's mainly what Far Side is. It's just one picture with it all. If you've never seen them, man, go to the library, go to the freaking – I don't care where you go to get it. It's better tangible. So if you can go to a library or something, get a book, a Far Side book, because I remember many a times being in high school, going to the library, just grabbing one of those and sitting in the library for an hour or two just reading through the books. Much more tangible than seeing them on the computer. But you got to start looking at those because that guy's comedy is genius.
Well, my favorite one that he put out was he did one called The Complete Prehistory of the Far Side, which it was kind of like it wasn't just the strips. It was a lot of the panels. It was a lot of panels, but also a lot of his earlier work. And like he would describe, you know, complaints that he got or how he came up with certain characters and stuff like that. If you can find The Complete Prehistory of the Far Side, it is worth reading.
It's funny, I was just talking about this on the other day at World of Warcraft when I was... one of my friends has a character named after an old comic strip that I remember reading growing up, the Luann comic strips. I doubt any of you guys read it. It was at the back of the Press Enterprise.
Yeah.
So I remember being young girl or teenager reading that and thinking it was really cool and relatable. And then I wanted to see how it held up. So they have the Press Enterprise comics online now. And I went to go back and reread some of them, and it does not hold up at all. So it was kind of, but it's funny because Farsight does hold up. Some of those real authentic ones, Farsight, Calvin and Hobbes, The Wizard of Id, Sherman's Lagoon, friggin' love Sherman's Lagoon. So all of those ones have held up. And it's just funny that literally the next day, so it's like we had this conversation on the 8th and then the 9th drops this. And it was like, oh, it's like you read my mind and you're bringing back the good era of the comic panel slash comic strip, because so much of what we have now is garbage, just absolute garbage.
And that's my hope here. And I don't know, I don't remember, because I know there was a documentary about Bill Willing, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes, about trying to get him
Bill Waters.
He didn't pass, right? He just, did he get arthritis?
No,
he just stopped
drawing. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, and there's a documentary about trying to get him to come back out, and I'm hoping with things like this, with the 2020 being what it is, and, you know, Gary Larson doing...
Oh, yeah, if we get Larson to start drawing Calvin and Hobbes again,
Oh my God, I would flip and then worry that the apocalypse really was coming, because nothing that good could happen in 2020 without there being, like, horrible ramifications afterwards.
I thought we were already there.
You think?
No. Godzilla's coming out next month, by the way. Just letting you know.
There's always further down to go.
Yeah. But it is funny for going back and rereading Calvin and Hobbes, just how much of it is still relevant in today's world.
Yeah. Farsight is just OG memes, is what Rue2 says. I love that. That's it. Release the Sharknadoes. Okay, so yeah, that's our main stories.
Scariest part about that is Tara Reid.
We had a couple things talk about really quickly, because there's things that we touch on all the time, all, you know, week in, week out. There's so much nerd news and geek news and pop culture news. This is a new segment called Stop Me If You Heard This Already.
Wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet.
What is it? What is that? Tell me!
Stop Me If You Heard This Already is just recapping on new updates to old stories. And the first one is the recap that always recaps, that still doesn't have a finish, that will continue recapping. And that's George R.R. Martin. He came out with a new update for Winds of Winter. And it's, hey, COVID has gotten me writing. I wrote a chapter yesterday. I wrote a chapter today. But it's a big book, so it's still going to be a while.
Wait. No. He didn't say that. He said, COVID has forced me to go into whatever, and it's allowed me to free my schedule. What the hell is on this guy's schedule?
He's inviting a Kathy Bates misery style sequence. Somebody needs to chain him to a desk and break his goddamn ankles. Write your book.
Let me finish my rant, though, just for that mini rant. Like, what the hell is stopping him from doing his, you know, job? I mean, it's not like he's making money going to McDonald's or selling at Ross. I mean, he's literally, that's his job. He writes a freaking book.
Comic-Cons. So, he's been doing a lot of Comic-Cons before this.
Okay, so a Comic-Con a month. I'll give him a weekend, okay, yeah. A month, all right? But this is his job. And so to have him go out and say, oh, COVID's allowed me to be forced into staying in my home, and now it's freed up time to where I can start writing my books, is a complete, I mean, seriously, dude, is it just because you can't go out and get any snacks to eat now, dude? You got some time?
He's going to use quarantine to get in really good shape and still not be done with that book.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. He still doesn't say it's coming out next year. He said there's a good chance
it can come out next year.
And it's like, until I see a hardback book copy in a store, I don't want to hear a damn word from him.
Exactly. That's my point. I don't want to hear a single word from him that he's writing, he's in a bunker, he's in a cave, he's on a fucking roof of a house with a cow and a typewriter. I don't want to hear none of that BS. All I want to do is get an email from Barnes & Noble that sends me your hot book of the month or your hot buy of the month, and I just want to say, hey, it's here. Buy it. That's all I want. I don't want no BS updates from him or his camp or his team or his cow or his hat or his golf clubs or his pipe or whatever fucking prop he's using this month. Just send me an email that says I can buy the damn book and then I'll be happy. If I get it before I'm 50, it'll be a fucking miracle. Sorry.
You guys got a second rant for free.
I love it.
Second rant for free.
Somebody needs to connect George R. R. Martin with Jim Butcher, because Jim Butcher took like a 5 or 6 year break off writing too. But when he came back, it was with two books.
Two books.
Here's the thing.
Technically, it's three books because he updated two Dresden Files and his Codex Alara books. So eat that, George R. R. Martin. And
you know what
you're
going to do.
Patrick Rothfuss, writing the Kingkiller Chronicles, he's starting to take the route of George R. R. Martin. So you know what? He can eat my shorts too.
No, what you need to do, what you need to do is you need to mix George R. R. Martin with Nick Cage. Then just a ton of stuff will just come out, because if he follows just in Nick Cage's footsteps, you'll just get every single thing every month.
Here's a fun fact. Larson's been gone for 25 years. He's come back and already written more Far Side stuff than George R. R. Martin has. How about that?
Well, and you look at Martin, he's written like 4 chapters in the last 3 weeks, and I bet 3 of them he's already thrown away. Just writing words down, and oh yeah, I wrote a chapter, but I'm not going to use it, so I'm going to start over again. Like, just shut the fuck up, sit there, write the damn book. Just give us what we want.
I think by the time he finishes it, COVID's going to F us up so much that there actually will be dragons flying around in real life. That's how messed up that's going to be. Like, what the hell? I'm dumbfounded. I seriously read that statement, and I'm like, I hate you, dude, because I'm here struggling in life and doing my thing and stuff, and all your punk ass has to do is sit in a chair and write a freaking novel. That's your job. It shouldn't take you 5 years to write a chapter. Because if it did, I'm going to start questioning who actually did write the original Game of Thrones, because your ass can't figure it out, apparently, now. I don't know.
At this point, even if it's crap, I don't think people are really going to care. I honestly don't. I think people just want to read something and criticize it, or read something and praise it, because you're not going to get worse than the television show. You can only go up from there. So your bar is low, dude. Low. Cross it.
It's ridiculous, the fact that he is like has a benchmark that this has to be like a 3,000-page book or something. And let's not forget, not only are we getting this, he's been working his book for like 9 years, but we still have another book after this.
I know. So nobody's talking about, what is it called? Like,
The spring of never finishing.
I don't remember what it's a winter.
I remember Brandon Sanderson decides to call it when he picks
and
up.
It's
a dream of spring.
Is it called it? Oh, I thought it was called A Summer of Douchebags. Okay, sorry.
Hey, so I mean, the good thing is if it does come out and COVID's still going on, at least worst case scenario, if it's a horrible book, at least you'll have some toilet paper in the background there.
Watch, we're gonna get it. It's only gonna be like a 380-page book.
With like 2 words per page. Anyway, so one
chapter of Tyrion and nothing else.
It's gonna be like a children's novel. The book is red. The shoe is blue.
It's gonna come out. It's gonna be a choose your own story kind of book.
Yes.
You guys don't like the movie, the book, or the series? You don't like the book? Choose your own damn ending.
Wait, how about this? How about he just gets a novel, he sharpies out the name, and puts the title on there with it. There it says it's mine. There you go. All right, so is he back? Okay, I'm gonna still go. So we're the next topic we want to talk about is the situation with Batwoman. So in the recent weeks, we've seen that Ruby Rose has stepped down from the title, and now they found her. They found the next Batwoman to take over. Make sure I got her name right, Javicia Leslie.
Sure.
Yeah, is that sound?
Javicia.
Enough I's and C's and an I and an A again. Yeah. She's going to be playing Ryan Wilder.
which when you look at the comic itself and everything, the casting, she's going to be a complete opposite of Kate Kane. She's not going to be so uptight. She's going to be dirty, nerdy, whatever you want to call it. She's, we talked about it in the prior cast. What do you think? What do you think about the casting? First of all, it's got historical notation to it because this is the first casting of Batwoman African-American taking the place of it or any type of other, you know, race or anything like that. What do you guys think about it? I think it's a great step.
I think it's awesome. I think it's I'm glad that they are basically making a whole original character for it instead of recasting Rose and Kate Kane. I just binge watched the first season over the last couple weeks and I love it. But yeah, I'm glad that they just recast it and put somebody else in a role. I think that would have came off wrong. It wouldn't have correlated correctly and just would have been entertaining. So a new character, that means they can start fresh. I hope they still keep in tune with like the story that's already going on and don't rewrite the entire like world that they got there.
It doesn't sound like they're going to do that. It sounds like her disappearance is going to tie into the current story and they're going to keep some of the existing characters and she's just going to step in and fill the void. I am hoping that means that Ruby Rose will be back maybe in a season two, season three, in a tie up your story kind of way, tie up the Kate Kane arc and let her take over from there. Because the biggest issue was mostly just the writing. It wasn't even the acting. It wasn't the stories. It was just inconsistent writing throughout a few of the episodes. I'm just saying they cast her quick. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing like Zoom casting or what, but they must have had something in the works or they knew something was going on with Ruby Rose because what was it? Not even 3 weeks ago that they've ended it and now suddenly they've got her fully cast and a new character already written with like an established background. I mean,
that actress is coming over from God Friended Me. And if I remember right, both God Friended Me and Batwoman are Berlanti shows. So I'm sure, you know, that same production company, they're probably like, hey, this show is ending over here. Maybe we can slide her over to this.
I like the fact that this character is going to be like a redeeming story for her and not someone of privilege or someone that's thrown into this responsibility role. See, it'll be nice to see what they do with it, but it sounds like she's kind of coming from a troubled, like a villainous kind of past and coming over. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how that turns over.
Yeah, when I was reading the article and everything, yeah, they're going to continue whatever stories are going on. They're just going to have to tweak it, obviously. And I think the reason why they were able to cast so quickly is I do believe the injury that Ruby Rose sustained during the filming of it was significant enough to where they probably were already starting to look for a plan B.
That was my guess, because people brush it off, but I really do think it was more substantial than people realize. So I think they had an escape plan. And there could have been tension going behind the scenes.
There was stories coming out that she was not very cooperative with the writers and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to kill off the character if you haven't watched the season, but the end of the season, they set up to be
eventually,
able to kill off that,
eventually they might, but when you read the article, the writer of the new series is very much a, no, we're not going to go that route at first because they have the whole bury your gaze trope on the internet. And she wants nothing to do with that whatsoever. She wants no accusations of that. So her arc will probably just be an exit eventually, whether or not Ruby Rose ever comes back on
behind
the series.
Back of the head, wearing the wig,
but this,
whatever, yeah. So
this takes me back to the 90s with the original Charm series where you had, this is different than that because back in the 90s when Charmed was on, like you didn't find out anything until months after the fact. So like, all of us watching the season 3 finale when everyone died and you don't know who's left, 2 months later, we finally find out that Shannon Doherty was a pill on behind the scenes and couldn't get along with Alyssa Milano and all this stuff. So they're writing Shannon Doherty out. They're bringing Rose McGowan in and they're keeping Alyssa Milano. You kind of wonder if it's the same thing where Ruby Rose is having these issues and this conflict going into mid-season, let's say. And, so they had this backup plan because this character is very well established already. They've got a background. They've got future stories that they're talking about.
This is what people do for a living, though, too, so I'm sure that they've got something.
Well, yeah, but I'm just wondering if maybe they knew, like you said, about midway through the first season that she was going to be pulling out, so they had a backup plan ready to go.
There was already issues midway through last year when she wasn't showing up to Comic-Con because they had to reshoot was the story, and I don't know. But moving on to the next, and these are just quick reactions so we can not take forever, but that's why we're just quick recaps of stuff. Sabrina, this is a Netflix story that we've talked about before. Netflix cancels another show after 3 seasons. Sabrina got canceled. They got a 4th season coming out, and you'll see that. And then the 5th season, they teased that if you would have seen the 5th season, we would have finally had the Riverdale crossover. But they're gonna finish that with a comic book. Quick thoughts.
Cool. It's weird because they'd already guaranteed it for the 5 seasons. They had it renewed, so why cancel something that you already had in the works? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I know season 3 wasn't as up to par. In my opinion, though, I liked parts of season 3 better than season 2 because I wasn't a whole fan of the Nick storyline. So having them separated was good for me, but it's weird and it's a little disappointing because I think where they set themselves up to go with the time paradox would have been really fun.
Go ahead, Bear.
I think you got to look at a little bit of the things that are going on politic-wise in the background of Netflix. There's some other shows that are, and there was even mentioned there too, but like a couple days ago, they just announced Ozark is ending after this next season too. But then I saw in this article, but I've read in a few others, it kind of looks like Netflix is kind of going the route of, if it's not their own property, they're going to start pulling back on it. And I think that's the shows we're starting to see canceled are stuff that are being made by other studios that are coming out, and Netflix is going to focus on their own original stuff that's made strictly by them and kind of limit what they're doing with all the other streaming sites and things that are being put out there right now.
Yeah, and I want to add on to that too as well. Like, so it was Ozark, Kaninsky, Method, Dead to Me. These were all shows that were popular, but they were also made out of studios, out of Netflix, not in Netflix studios, out of studio. The other thing is, so you have to take into consideration too, is they're starting to lose the Marvel franchises and Star Wars. Like Solo just went Disney Plus, and Infinity War just went Disney Plus. So little by little, they are losing whatever last minute or straws they have left over from big movies and stuff like that. They have to start relying on their own selves. In other words, they have to start saving a couple bucks to make sure that they can be able to make their own content. So this makes, from a financial point of view, it makes sense. You're paying outside vendors to make your stuff versus you should just make it yourself.
Yeah. Makes sense. Do you have something I see?
Oh, I really like Kiernan Shipka. It's kind of, she's turned into such a wonderful actress. I'm sure she'll find something else.
She'll get another job. Oh, yeah, she did a fantastic job.
Her and the one that played Aunt Zelda, Miranda Otto, both of them.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be fine.
So
maybe Netflix will make a show for her called Sabrina, the middle-aged wife witch.
And if season 5 was going to be crossovers with Riverdale, then I'm glad they killed it because Riverdale has gone stupid. So good the first couple seasons, and then it just it didn't even jump the shark. I don't know what it did. It did very inappropriate things with the shark.
It's still good.
Just go back and give it a chance. Not. I haven't watched it, but give it a chance, I guess.
I tried, and then there was the cult at the farm, and I was out.
Well, we're not talking about Riverdale right now. The other quick recap and update on Disney making live-action films. Well, guess what? They're making Peter Pan, and they just cast Jude Law as Captain Hook. There was talks that Tom Hiddleston or Will Smith were also offered the roles, but they turned it down. So Jude Law is Captain Hook for a live-action Peter Pan Disney remake.
I guess no more Captain Marvel 2 for him, huh?
He's on the hook with Disney. Yeah. I got 2 fingers for that movie, and I won't show him because it's inappropriate.
I'm actually excited that we're getting a Peter Pan movie. The last couple live-action Peter Pan movies we've gotten over the last, like, two decades have been crap, and they haven't been Disney at all. They've been other ones, even though Hugh Jackman was – what's that? What's that?
I was going to say, going back to the 90s, Hook was fantastic.
Oh, no, no. Hook was fantastic.
Hook was a twist off of the Peter Pan story.
You know, Hugh Jackman played Hook, you know, like 15 years ago, whatever. I don't know. Those movies themselves weren't very good. So I'm hoping that with Disney behind this one, I get it's a retelling live action of what they've already done. But the movies haven't been good. Like, the live actions haven't been good. So I'm hoping that this one can be a good live action film. I love the Disney movies. And
well, they're definitely going to have to make changes because, you know, the story of Peter Pan in the media nowadays and stuff, it's got its problematic elements. And so they're going to have to make their changes.
They definitely will.
And Jude Law, of course Jude Law can play the role. That's not the issue. The issue is what I went back to earlier. Just come up with some new content, Disney, and quit remaking all your animated movies.
Disney's
going to
remake every single
animated film. Well, they can eat my shorts. I won't pay to watch it.
It'll be on Disney Plus.
I won't watch it.
At some point.
It's not a matter of Jude Law can do it. It's a matter of should they do it.
No.
I really do think that Hook was the epitome of a live-action Peter Pan series because you can't take away from the original cartoon and the books and stuff like that that they created, and Hook was 25 years later kind of thing. That was a perfect way to kind of show what Pan is all about. Anything from this point forward is trying to redo it, and I don't think they could ever touch that magic. As well as they did
with Robin Williams,
cartoons, yeah. Yeah, HJZ Grok makes a good point. Well, they can't re-release VHS and DVD anymore, so they got to do something. good point. No more video vaults.
Peter Pan was never one of my favorite Disney originals. I mean, I loved Hook because of Robin Williams and Julia Roberts as a very, very angry Tinkerbell.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, Hook was its own special. But the original Peter Pan, honestly, I could do without it ever being in my life ever again.
Can we not forget Glenn Close in the Boo Box?
Glenn Close, yeah.
Yeah, Glenn Close is the pirate in the Boo Box. Not the Boo Box.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So we have the guy who was from Roger Rabbit was in there, too. It was Smee.
Yeah. Smee is really the only character that I like.
Dude, you're also forgetting Julia Roberts was in there. She was Tinkerbell.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said Julia Roberts is the very angry Tinkerbell. Her flicking Robin Williams in the forehead every time he pisses her off, it was priceless. And Rufio. Yes, Rufio. I still chant that to this day. And the cannonball when they roll that kid down the gangplank, that's epic.
So we think Jude Law will be good as Hook, but we just don't want to see another Disney remake.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Jude Law's fantastic. I love him.
We got one last subject, guys. Somebody's got to talk about it.
We need to talk.
You talking to me?
Oh, my God. Who told you?
Have you told anyone else about this?
What you talking about?
Look who's talking.
I don't know if he's going to talk about chicken sandwiches or snowmen.
No, we're talking about Frosty the Snowman. Or Frosty the
snowman.
Hunky Snowman, because Jason Momoa has gotten cast to voice Frosty in a live-action film. I don't know.
Why can't that be a live-action film? Just don't even put him in any kind of CGI. Just paint white all over him and roll around in He-Man garb or something. There you go. That'll get people excited.
It's just Aquaman, but colder.
When I first heard about this live action Frosty the Snowman film, I was like, didn't Michael Keaton do that movie where he was
Jack Frost?
Yeah,
Jack Frost. You know, when I saw that, like, I thought it was actually gonna be like live action him in it, not voicing it. First thing I thought of was, okay, so Momoa playing Frosty. I don't know why, but I thought I pictured The Rock playing Bambi in that skit, and I'm like, that's why?
I mean, who would you want playing Frosty? I mean, if you're going for, like, the look of Frosty, I mean, what do you have, like, Jack Black? Cool. I mean, he's round and happy and jolly.
Jack Black
lovely.
Would be a better voice for Frosty than Momoa.
I mean, he's angry. He would be a very angry Frosty, I think.
Jason Momoa's got that surfer kind of...
Josh Gad
already plays a snowman.
Yeah. He already plays a snowman. He plays Olaf. Yeah, you can't have him play Frosty too. That's just typecasting.
He typecast a snowman for the rest of his life. Give me Jack Frost in 10.
Hey guys, I wanted to apologize. We were having a lot of fun recording this, and unfortunately, as I was the one streaming everything and recording, my laptop decided to go to the blue screen of death and just crash. So we weren't able to finish the episode, and we do this live every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Twitch at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. So, unfortunately, because we had to wait for my stuff to boot back up in that time frame, we have people that are all across the nation here on the cast. So, it gets pretty late for most, so we weren't able to actually finish this. But we really greatly appreciate you guys checking us out, listening to us, watching us, subscribing, commenting, all that great, fantastic stuff that you guys do. If you want to follow us, malice-corp.com. If you want to follow any of the individual people here on the cast, make sure to check out the description notes for the episode, and there'll be links to where you can follow everybody there. Thanks once again. We were having a lot of fun. We hope to have fun with you every Friday on Twitch, and that you can come join us. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, please make sure to subscribe. Please make sure to tell others about us. And hey, if you want to have fun just geeking out and nerding out and talking about pop culture, come join us on facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast. That's all I got. We'll see you guys next Friday. You keep nerding on, and thank you.